WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:03, it's mostly clear and 24 degrees in Atlantic. We look for it to be partly cloudy today and breezy with a high near 50. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by First National Bank. They're locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. The Atlantic Parks and Recreation Department's Board of Directors on Tuesday approved the contract and plans for a Parks and Rec office and maintenance building. The plans were drawn up by Snyder and Associates Engineers. Parks and Rec Director Roger Herring said the building committee scaled down the plans from an earlier concept due to costs and other factors.
The decision by the building committee was to continue on the path that we're on with changing the strategy as to how we bid the building out. We are going to bid the building as what I will call a shell. And that shell will be the exterior walls with the basic areas in the bid, and then include alternates for bid also and see where the costs are.
Herring says they have a certain amount of dollars to work with. The total estimated project cost is $311,000, but Herring said the building committee hopes to find a way to cut $80,000 from that price tag by having a skeletal electrical system in the shop area, insulation modifications, plumbing and heating changes, through the use of temporary light fixtures and gravel in the driveway. Engineering costs have also been reduced in the changes in the latest design. Herring says he hopes to have the project let for bids as soon as March the 6th, bid openings on March 27th, and awarding of the project at the City Council's meeting on April 3rd. In other business, the Atlantic Parks and Rec Board approved the 2013 master plan for the Shelburne Recreation Area. The 2003 plan, which was never actually formalized or presented to the Parks and Rec Board or the City Council for approval, was created by an ad hoc group. Herring said the City Council wanted the Parks and Rec Board and Shelburne Recreation Committee to come together and come up with a final plan the Council could also approve.
But you need to have some kind of master plan that's not a template. You don't have to follow it to the letter, but it gives you an idea of a group of people that have made a decision that this is how we would like to see the area come to fruition.
And they also want that plan to be reviewed every 5 years. Some of the changes to the 2003 plan include the addition of future trails, including the addition of a connector to the T-Bone Trail, a fishing pier that's handicapped accessible, a proposed dog park, RV campground and parking area, and much more. News time is 8:05.
First National Bank is locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. They have the expertise needed to provide you excellent service with a great selection of banking and investment needs. They have a complete line of lending services available, and they offer insurance sales. At First National Bank, you'll be greeted with a friendly face at the teller's window as well as each special desk. First National Bank in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, and Anita, where you'll get the most banking service for the least cost. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
A suburban New York newspaper's decision to publish the names and addresses of handgun owners is prompting gun rights advocates across the country to propose legislation to keep such records secret. Representative Matt Winschittle, a Republican from Missouri Valley, runs a family gun shop in western Iowa.
We need to make sure that we're protecting the identities of those people who choose to get a permit to acquire or to carry a weapon, but also those people who choose not to. We've had recent incidents in other states, such as New York, where the information was made public, and there were crimes that were perpetrated because of those things.
Concealed weapon permits would not be a public record if Winschittle's bill becomes law. The Iowa Newspaper and Broadcasters Associations oppose the proposal, arguing gun permits are no different than other public records, like restaurant inspections. The Journal News in White Plains, New York, published the names and addresses of more than 33,000 gun owners in northern New York suburbs about a week after the mass shooting at a Connecticut elementary school. Legislators in Illinois are likely to reject a proposal to make gun ownership records public. Such records are private in that state today. Well, speaking of guns, the first of two public hearings will be held this morning at the courthouse in Atlantic with regard to a proposed amendment to the county's zoning ordinance that would allow for the creation of businesses that allow gun sales and service along with an indoor shooting range. A local man has proposed establishing a gun sales and repair shop and indoor shooting range business near Messina. Under the current zoning ordinance, such businesses are not allowed. The county's Planning and Zoning Commission approved the proposed amendment during its meeting on January 24th and forwarded its recommendation onto the County Board of Supervisors for approval. A hearing on the proposal is set to begin shortly after 9 o'clock this morning during the supervisors' regular meeting. Following the hearing, the board will hold the first of two votes on the matter. The second hearing and second vote will take place on February 20th. In other business, the supervisors today are scheduled to receive a report from OSDI Midwest in Omaha with regard to a possible renovation of the courthouse basement storage room. And at 10 o'clock, they'll receive a review from Solutions Incorporated from Spencer with regard to services associated with information technology and GIS, the Geographic Information System. The Iowa Transportation Commission on Tuesday approved a Revitalize Iowa's Sound Economy, or RISE, local development grant application that had been submitted by Mills County. Officials say slightly more than $1.626 million will be made available to assist in construction of approximately 5,650 feet of 190th Street south from Jessup Avenue toward U.S. 34, located just west of Interstate 29 in Mills County. The project is expected to be completed by October 2014. It was deemed necessary to provide access to six lots totaling more than 402 acres for industrial, transportation, logistics, and warehousing purposes. Funding for the grant comes from the county's share of the RISE Fund. And firefighters from across the state of Iowa traveled to Des Moines Tuesday to pick up hundreds of free smoke alarms. State Fire Marshal Ray Reynolds purchased the alarms with money from a $245,000 federal grant and a $50,000 grant from State Farm Insurance. Reynolds has a goal to install smoke alarms in every Iowa home with children.
We're well on our way to doing that. We have 36,000 smoke alarms installed to date in this two-year-old project. And our goal is to have 50,000 smoke alarms installed by the end of the year.
The grants will eventually cover the cost of roughly 11,600 smoke alarms in 2013, and there is plenty of demand for those alarms.
There are 5,000 structure fires in Iowa last year. Of those structure fires, one in five homes does not have any smoke alarms.
Firefighters from 18 Iowa cities picked up a total of 3,000 smoke alarms Tuesday as part of the Reynolds Project. Among them were persons from Denison, Carroll, Breda, and Harlan. Denison Fire Chief Corey Snowgren said the new detectors will help continue his department's efforts to keep citizens of the community safe.
Our fire department, in conjunction with State Fire Marshal, participated in a very bold move when it comes to fire safety. We installed over 4,000 detectors in our community. We still have some kids that we still have requests out there to fill, and that was the detectors we picked up today.
The Denison Fire Department received 200 new detectors. Snowgren says they won't have any problem finding homes to place them in.
No, absolutely not. We have a list that are waiting on them now.
Snowgren says in 2012, Denison had the distinction of having the first two lives saved in the state by fire alarms.
It was an outlet. They had a three-pronged device plugged into a space heater that had started on fire, and it woke them up about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Taking a look now at world headlines on KJAN, authorities in San Bernardino County, California, believe the search for an ex-cop accused of murder is over. But they say they won't know for sure if a body found in a burned-out mountain cabin is Christopher Dorner until testing is done. Dorner was accused in a deadly rampage that claimed four lives, including a police officer and a sheriff's deputy. Authorities say he wanted revenge for getting fired from the Los Angeles police force several years ago. President Obama begins a three-day trip to push the job-creating and economic proposals he unveiled at last night's State of the Union address. Obama travels today to Asheville, North Carolina, where he will visit a supplier of engine and transmission components that has expanded its manufacturing operations. Tomorrow, the president stops in Atlanta, and he'll be in Chicago on Friday. It looks like consumers aren't showing much of a willingness to increase their spending. The government says Americans barely spent more last month at retail businesses and restaurants after higher taxes cut their paychecks. Retail sales ticked up just 0.1% last month after a rise of 0.5% in December. And the U.S. and European Union will be pursuing a transatlantic free trade deal. EU President, Commission President José Manuel Barroso says it will not be easy, but he said the results would be a win-win situation. Initial talks could start by this summer. News time is 8:12.
At First National Bank, we strive to make your banking experience as simple and convenient as possible. If you would like to enjoy the benefit of banking anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without an interruption in your busy day, sign up for our free online banking. Signing up is easy. Just visit our website and click on Enroll to try our online banking demo for a trial run. Locally owned, locally active, and proud to be your bank. In Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Oneida, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And in the funeral announcements this morning, Gail Deers, age 87 of Orient, died Sunday at his home. A funeral mass for Gail Deers will be today at 10 o'clock at St. John's Catholic Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Timothy Jebison, age 54, of Hannibal, Missouri, and formerly of Brayton, died Saturday in Kansas City. Funeral services for Tim Jebison will be today at 10:30 at the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Hannibal, Missouri. The James O'Donnell Funeral Home of Hannibal is in charge of the arrangements. James Allen Wallace, age 62, of Menlo, died Friday. Funeral services for James Wallace will be today at 10:30 at the First Congregational Church in Stuart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stuart has arrangements. John Hansen, age 53, of Atlantic, died Sunday at Methodist Hospital in Des Moines. Funeral services for John Hansen will be this afternoon, 2:30, at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. John B. Rasmussen, age 71, of Winterset, died Monday at the Mercy West in West Des Moines. Funeral services for John Rasmussen will be held on Thursday at 9 o'clock at St. John's Catholic Church in Adel. The Macaulay Funeral Home of Adel has the arrangements. Martha Vetter, age 100, of Manning, died Monday at Manning Plaza Nursing Home. Funeral services for Martha Vetter will be held Thursday at 11:30 a.m. That's 11:30 at the Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has the arrangements. Leonard Joseph Mike, age 56, of Audubon, died Monday at his home in Audubon. A massive Christian burial service for Leonard Mike will be held on Friday at 10 o'clock at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Audubon. The Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon is in charge of the arrangements. Bernice Cecilia Sweeney, age 92, of Harlan, died Friday at the Elmcrest Retirement Community. Funeral services for Bernice Sweeney will be on Friday at 11 o'clock at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Sheila Ann Hopp, age 68, of Harlan, died Monday at her home. Funeral services for Sheila Hopp will be held Saturday at 11 o'clock at St. John's Lutheran Church in Council Bluffs. The Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan is in charge of the arrangements. Catherine Johnson, age 72, of Fontenelle, died December 19th in Des Moines. A memorial service for Catherine Johnson will be held Saturday at 11 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church in Greenfield, with a luncheon to follow at the church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. And Joyce McConley, age 86, of Atlantic, died Monday at the Heritage House. A graveside service for Joyce McConley will be held on Monday at 11:30 at the Atlantic Cemetery. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic is in charge of the arrangements. Our news was brought to you by First National Bank, with locations in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.